This week's mailbag comes to us from Laurie. I haven't been around lately because it is tax season here in Canada. My work box is keeping me on track and I've stayed on top of my work, which is so wonderful. Canadian tax season goes until April 30th, and in March, I was able to do a consulting job, support a nonprofit client's annual audit, establish a new client that was in crisis, a huge client, and I think I have done about 80 tax returns so far, which is about half of my client roster. I meal planned in January all the way into the first week of May, spent 2 weekends doing food prep and freezer meals in January and February, and haven't missed any tax deadlines yet. My house is holding strong in its organization and we are eating healthy and life isn't falling apart because I'm working crazy right now. Phew! Lisa Woodruff, you're keeping me on track this year like I've never had before. Thank you for everything that you and your team do. Workbox Planning Day was a game changer for me and my business.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. It's time to decide and make a plan. Last week, we talked about what you have control over. You can look at this coin looking at either side. There is almost nothing you have control over in the world. Very, very little. And you can worry and fret about that all you want. And the media will help you do that on the regular. Or you can look at the other side of the coin and realize you have so much control. You have control over your mind and the inputs that you put into your life and your home. You have a lot of control. You have very little and oh so much. But what I have found to be true about control is much more about the decisions you make, the frequency of the decisions you make, the impact of the decisions you make, more so than the amount of decisions that you make. So let's unpack this a little bit. Let's really talk about decisions. What does it look like to make a decision? Are there any perfect decisions? What are the different categories of decisions you can make? Home versus work decisions? And how often to review and change your mind about the decisions that you've already made? Making a decision, deciding, seems so final, so finite, so, you know, set in stone. And it's really not. We make decisions about things every day, and deciding not to decide is actually a decision. When you decide something, when you say, am I going to have a protein bar or eggs for breakfast, or am I going to do intermittent fasting and not have breakfast at all? That is a decision. And when you wake up the next day, you make the same decision over and over and over again. About a decade ago, I made the decision that I was no longer deciding about breakfast. And I get up in the morning and I have a Zone Perfect protein bar and a Keurig coffee with a little bit of milk and a little bit of raw sugar. And that has been my breakfast my entire 40s. I'm 49 and a half. It's my entire 40s. That is what I've had for breakfast. I have not made a breakfast decision in a long, long time. And then I started going out for breakfast. And I decided that when I go out for breakfast, I go to First Watch and I get the trifecta, which is 2 eggs over easy with either a waffle or a pancake and bacon. And then I get coffee with that. So if I go out to breakfast with anyone, if any of you have gone out to breakfast, you'd be like, I'll be darned. That is exactly what she gets. Yep. I know where I go. I know where I get. I know how many calories it is. I know how it'll fuel my body. And I just do not make breakfast decisions. Now, In the last couple of months, I've been thinking about my breakfast and thinking, you know, I think it's time to change it up. You think it's been a decade, like maybe I might have a different body than I did when I was 40. And I really still like Zone protein bars, but they are heavy and they are dense. They're only 220 calories, but they definitely fill you up. And I'm thinking that I'm going to have a lighter breakfast, like more of like a granola or maybe no breakfast and just coffee, and then have the Zone protein bar when I can't have a regular lunch. And often I've started kind of skipping lunch or not really knowing what to do with lunch. So I'm in the process of redeciding my breakfast, which is now going to include my lunch, and probably move that Zone protein bar to my lunch and then either not have breakfast, or I found these little granola bars I've on the road that I really like, and that might become my breakfast. I am taking a ridiculously long amount of time making this decision, thinking it through, thinking about how many calories I want to consume, thinking about my energy needs at the beginning of the day. Definitely, this is going to be my plan on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when I have back-to-back meetings all day long, but maybe I'll have a different plan on Mondays and Thursdays. And you might be thinking, like, who thinks this much about their decisions? You do. You just don't realize you do. Everybody does. I'm just really purposeful about every decision I make. So I really think about all of the implications. And then once I decide, which probably will be by the beginning of September, that'll be my new breakfast for I don't even know how long. We'll see. Until that no longer fits my food needs. Making decisions this way, the way that I do, really frees up my brain. Because by the time I've made the decision, I'm like, okay, I've taken into account like my food sensitivities, my energy levels, you know, how I do my mornings. Some people really like to have a breakfast and make coffee and make eggs and sit down and read the paper. Or some people get up and they exercise first and they have a whole morning routine. I am ready to go. When I get up in the morning, I am ready to go. I would like to get to work and get going. Like, if I exercised in the morning, I have so many ideas, so much energy in the morning to work. Like, I would have a migraine by the time I got done walking because I'd have even more ideas than I already have when I wake up. Like, I need to get to work as soon as possible because I have lots of things that I want to do. And so I need a breakfast that will support that, that will not cause me to be tired or hungry or get a migraine. And in my 40s, it was the Zone bar. And now I'm figuring out what it is going to be in my 50s. Probably whatever this breakfast is will sustain me for the next at least 5 years. And making decisions this way, the way that I make decisions, allows me to not make that decision again for a long time. I could tell you for 9 years, I didn't think anything about my breakfast. It wasn't until recently that I started to realize there needs to be some kind of a change. I know I've mentioned before that presidents of the United States do this all the time. Like, they make decisions. I know Barack Obama only had two different styles of suits that he wore, and it was whether he was in the office or out of the office, which one he wore, I believe. And so he got up and he got dressed. The entire 8 years that he was president, he never thought about what he was wearing. He just got up, got dressed, and got on with it. And aren't we so grateful? Do we really need the president of the United States figuring out which color underwear he wants to wear? No, I do not think that we do. How many of the tech giants have their standard uniform of jeans and a certain color of t-shirt that they wear? And we found that a lot of women are doing this as well. Like, I remember reading a couple of years ago about a woman who wore the same thing every day and her colleagues never even realized it because she just changed. There were like three different accessories and she changed where the accessory was, whether it was a scarf or a sweater or something else. And they didn't realize that she'd worn the same clothing for like 2 years straight. Like, anyone could do these things. We make so many decisions. And there's so much research out there about decision fatigue. And the act of actually making decisions is exhausting. So if you spend all of your time making all of your decisions on the little things, you don't have that energy for the big things. Making decisions is a learnable skill, and it has many different levels to it that I could teach you over the next couple of years. There are small decisions, big decisions, decisions that can be made that last years, decisions that are made that only last a few days. But deciding or not deciding, that's your first decision. And then how you make decisions and starting to make decisions that last longer and are reevaluated on a regular basis, I would say is probably the key to the productivity that I have in my life. It comes down to decisions. It's not the app you're using. It's not how much sleep you get. It's how you make decisions, how frequently, and at what level. A few years ago, inside of Organize 365, someone found a decision-making filter. I can't remember where I found it, but it had these decision levels on it from level 1 to level 4. And I can't remember exactly what they are because almost everything now in Organize 365, we just say decision level 4. But it was something like this. Decision 1 is that I want you to go research and find out information, and then I want you to bring it back to me and explain to me all of the information, and we'll make the decision together, or I'll make the decision after you give me all the information. Level 2 is you go and you do all the research about whatever decision needs to be made, and you come back, and together you tell me what your decision will be, and then I will approve your decision or not. And level 3 is you go, you do all of the research to make a decision, and you make the decision, and then you report to me on what the results are. And level 4 is you just do it. Like you go, you research, you make the decision, you implement it. I don't even need to know what the implementation was. So inside of Organize 365, like our company has grown from me to the company that we have today. And along the way, I used to make every single decision, as you might make in your household, every single decision. And along the way, at home and at work, I have gone to where I make very few decisions. Craig said, when I left for the book tour, he said, "Now, we're going to have some conversations along the way, because I'm sure there are some things that you make the decisions of that, you know, we haven't discussed, and they're going to come up." I said, "Okay, what do you think those are?" He says, "Well, you know, the bills, like, you know, the mail's going to come in." I said, it's all automatically paid, but I do want you to bring me my Sunday basket when I'm at the beach." He goes, "Okay." He says, "Well, you know, there are a lot of other things that you do around here." I said, "Really, Greg, you're going to be shocked. I do nothing." He's like, no, I'm pretty sure you do a lot of things." I said, "A load of laundry. I'm not even kidding you. I do nothing around the house anymore." He shows up at the beach. He goes, "You do nothing around the house anymore." I said, "I told you." In the past, if I had said that, I would feel so guilty and like I wasn't doing my housely, wifely parenting duties. But now I go, yes, I can't believe I did it. Like, I was a stay-at-home mom and I raised these babies and I started this company and I'm literally on the road and I'm not making any decisions. I used to think that the sign of success was that you made all of the decisions. And now I realize that truly, when you are making none of the decisions and all of the decisions are happening both at home and work without me, that is success and growth that can grow and sustain and is so much better than when I was making all of the decisions. I used to make all of the decisions everywhere, and you can only make so many decisions. It's a physical reality. You can only make so many decisions. So if you want to make more impact at home and at work, you must empower people and teach people to make decisions the way you would make decisions so that they can make decisions without you, which furthers your mission and vision further at home and at work. So at work, the joke is people will bring things up in a one-on-one meeting, or I'll hear about things. I'll walk through the office. I'll see people talking. I'll be like, "What are you guys talking about?" And they'll say, "Do you really want to know?" And I say, "No, I do not." And I walk away because it means they have it handled and I don't even need to know what has gone wrong or any of it. And then people will bring things to me in one-on-one meetings or our group meetings, and they will say, "Here's the issue at hand." And I will look back at them and I'll say, "Make a decision." And they say, "Level 4. I said, "Level 4. I don't even need to hear what the decision was or what happened. I implicitly trust the team that we have grown." You know, if you've dealt with customer service, received a package, you know how good this team is. They love you as much as I do. Like, they are
so invested in our mission, vision, and value, which is to free up your time. Our entire mission at Organize 365 is to empower you and give you the tools and resources so that you can free up your time and not be spending so much time at home and at work so that you can do what you're uniquely created to do, so you can live your life. We want you to go live your life, whatever it takes, whatever we can do to simplify your home and your work so that you can do that. So what does that look like at home, Lisa? Like, how can you literally be on the road and everybody at home is making all the decisions? This started even before Organize 365. Like, when my kids were little, I remember listening to Dr. Dobson Focus on the Family episode, and he talked about the three stages of parenting. That the first 6 years, your child is 100% dependent on you and you make all the decisions. And the next 6 years, when your child is 6 to 12, you know, are like the golden years where your child follows what your rules are, and you are teaching them. You're teaching them about life and you're doing life with them. And then the last 6 years, if children are done by the age of 18, so 12 to 18, is when you kind of are like a parenting coach. And so you're still making the decisions and you're still in charge, but you are coaching your kids on becoming an adult. And I took that so seriously. Like, my whole goal with my kids from birth was to raise independent adults that could live and work on their own, that were fulfilled, that had a sense of purpose, to do and be whatever they're uniquely created to be. And I think even from before we had infertility issues and adopted our kids, I see each individual person as an individual. Like, we live in families together, we work in jobs together, but we all have our unique hopes, dreams, ambitions. I don't know why, but I have no problem with people having different religions or political views than me, or different aspirations in work, or like, I could see the beauty in all of the decisions that people make. And so it doesn't bother me. I would say in our family, there on both sides of our family, a lot of our extended family have switched which political affiliations they have. So our families were very homogeneous in our political affiliations, and now they are not. It doesn't bother me at all, like not at all. Makes Greg nuts. But it does not bother me at all. Like, I can have I literally can have a political, a religious, a philosophical conversation with anybody about anything. I just think people are so fascinating and different points of view are so interesting. And I'm such a learner. Like, I want to know all of those things. So even when my kids were little, I knew if they grew up and they had, you know, different political leanings than me, it wouldn't bother me. It just doesn't bother. Like, in our family, if you got vaccinated or not, that we're all adults, was your personal decision. Like, it wasn't my decision. With the mask mandates and everything, what my family chooses to do, we're all independent adults. We all make our own decisions. I don't see it as a reflection. I make my decision for me, and they make their decision for them. And I trust that they're making the best decision possible for them at this time. And it goes back to the conversation from last week about control. What do you have control over? Yourself. That's it. That's it. You don't have control over your kids, your spouse, your employees. You only have control over yourself. And that's why I started the podcast with what do you control and what don't you control before I started talking about decisions, because you can't make a decision to control another person. You can only make a decision about how you want to work, live, do life. And the more you realize that your locus of control is only you, the easier decisions become. Like, they become so easy. Like, and every single decision that you make doesn't feel like the weight of the world is on that decision. You're just making a decision for yourself, and other people make a decision for themselves. And being able to do that, like to weigh pros and cons and make decisions on your own, is such a skill that is not really taught and so needed. But you also have to do it over and over and over again. So I've made some decisions at home and at work, and there are certain decisions that I have to remake, and you're remaking them as well. Whenever you get more information, you have to remake your decisions. So I talked to you about my food earlier. My entire 40s, I had a great breakfast going. But now that I just don't have the calorie need that I used to have, I think that's what's happened. One, I'm going to walk more. I've started walking more. That definitely is helping me feel, you know, more like I did when I was a little bit younger. But also, I've really gone down to reducing how much I eat. Like, even at meals, like instead of eating everything that I have, I eat about half and I'm full. And I'm usually not hungry again. And I've been really toying with intermittent fasting. I tried it a couple of years ago and it did not work at all. Like, I was hungry all of the time. I had a bunch of migraines, but now I'm a little bit further in my perimenopause or whatever. And now I find a lot of times, like after I eat lunch, I'm not hungry till the next day. And I used to eat dinner because it was dinner time, and intermittent fasting often says, you know, like skip breakfast. But a lot of times I just skip dinner. I'm like, still not hungry. Really weird. Still not hungry. Okay, well, I guess I'll just not eat. What's the worst that can happen? You're starving in the middle of the night? Great. I get up and I eat. Like, that's the worst that can happen. So I, you know, am trying that. Some days in the morning, I'm not hungry, so I have coffee. Supposedly, if you have milk and sugar in your coffee, you break your fast. Well, I'm not trying to, like, I don't know, become an Olympian fasting person. I'm just trying to listen to my body about when I'm hungry. And sometimes, you know, I'm not hungry until 11 or 12 or 1 or whatever. So I'm making new decisions because I have new information. I don't seem to need as many calories. In January, I was tracking my calories. It was one of my thing in my 100-day planner. I always pick new goals and things to be focusing on. So I was focusing on, you know, figuring out what are my nutritional needs. So this was, you know, 2 trimesters ago. It was my January thing. And I started tracking my calories, not because I was going to reduce my calories, but I was wondering how many calories am I actually eating? It was so interesting. So I was eating 1,200 calories one day and 1,800 the next, and then 1,200 and then 1,800 and then 1,200 and 8. And like it went back and forth like this for 3 weeks. And I don't say that to trigger anybody. Like, I don't know what the normal amount of calories you're supposed to eat is. And I was going to average it out, like, okay, 1,500 calories a week, and then come up with the optimal feeding plan and then see if I could reduce it down to 1,400. And I found that that totally didn't work. Like, on days where I would eat like 1,500 calories, either I was starving or I felt so full. And it's because for whatever reason, my body actually needs like 1,200 and then 1,800 and then 1,200 and then 1,800. I thought, well, that is interesting information. So the next trimester, then in April, I was like, all right, well, if my calorie needs obviously are different every other day, and it's not like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's literally every other day. So 1 week I'll be starving on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The next week I would be starving on like Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. I thought, okay, so what if I just went a whole trimester where I just figure out when I'm actually hungry? And what I found was I'm a lot less hungry than I even thought I was. Like, I'm eating less than that. And I just think it's my age. And so I'm just researching. I'm making decisions every trimester and then it getting more information. It will probably take me this round of the 100-day program, September, and again next January. Probably by next summer, I'll figure out what my food should be for, I think, like, I'm finishing menopause now. Like, I'm probably going into a different diet-y type thing. This is how I make decisions. I decide something 3 times a year for my family, in January, in May, and in September. I look at what information I have, what goal I have for that trimester, what is the thing that I want to decide to make a decision on that will last for a long time, and then I move forward in it. That's how I do planning day. And you cannot decide 30 different things. You can only really work on 1 or 2 big decisions that you want to make that are going to last 5 to 10 years. I think that's something that I intuitively do that other people don't do, which is why I don't mind taking a whole 120 days to research and figure something out, because I know once I figure this food thing out for this next phase of my life, it'll probably last 5 to 15 years. So it is worth the amount of research. Another thing I'm doing, I just ordered one of these from home sensitivity tests. I used to do these with my kids to find out what foods they're sensitive to. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to create what my food plan is going to be for the next 5 to 15 years, I should know if I'm sensitive to anything first. So I'm going to do a food sensitivity test. I plan my work 4 times a year, and I plan my life 3 times a year. And that's why we have 7 planning days in Organize 365. Each quarter, I go through and I figure out what are the big things that I want to make sure that we accomplish in the next 13 weeks in Organize 365. Also, what are the things we've been doing that we can eliminate or get rid of? What can we declutter? How are we going to divide those roles and responsibilities among our team members? Are we moving anyone around in our organizational chart, which just FYI, we always do, almost everybody, because the company is growing pretty quickly. What investments do we want to make in our people, in our infrastructure, in our products? What new things do we want to come out with, or what designs do we want to change and freshen up 3 to 6 months from now? I make all of those decisions every quarter. And then that week that we make all of those decisions, the next week I share all of those decisions with the team. Everyone gets their work boxes redone and has their planning day. And then 10 to 11 weeks, we just run on those decisions and we just execute and make reality whatever decisions and goals that we have set forth. And we do it all again and do it all again. And every time we do it, we get better. Like every time we do it, I get better at communicating what the changes and the goals are to the team. The team gets better at reorganizing their work box and resetting it for the next quarter. We get better at figuring out, you know, what we don't need to do anymore and what we can eliminate and what's redundant and what we can make process improvements on. We just get better every single time. We add a lot of new people into Organize 365. 1 year ago, we had 10 team members. Now we have 21. A lot of those are part-time contractors, but the team is growing. The more people you have on a team, the more communication you need. Every time we do one of these quarterly sessions where, you know, I set the goals and everybody cleans out the workbox, and then we have a team planning meeting, planning day, people run into each other's offices and, oh, let's change this out. There's always a Zoom going on and people pop in and out of our team Zoom since half of our team is remote. And they're cleaning out their email inboxes. Hey, I still have this in my email inbox. Are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? Should I table it and put it in a pig slash pocket, or should we just delete it entirely? People ask questions all day long. It's so much fun. Then we get to run our plan for 10, 11, 12 weeks. Everybody on the same page. Everybody's email is decluttered. Everybody's workbox is reset. Everyone knows exactly what we're supposed to be working on. It's a great system. And we are doing it for the fourth time now. The first couple of times we did it, I could not believe I was setting aside an entire day for people to clean out their work boxes and talk to each other about what was going on. I was just seeing dollar signs like, oh my gosh, all of this salary for planning days. And now I'm wondering if we should do it more often. Like, it's just so great. Everyone feels so focused, so relieved, so purposeful in what they're going to be doing in the next quarter. We work hard. But we have to have that day where we just reset everything and clean everything out so that we can go forward. You need that at home too. That's why we do the 100-day planning days. And yes, our planner is in conjunction with the 100-day program. Like, you can join planning day if you're not in the 100-day program, but you can't get the planner if you're not in the 100-day program, because the 100-day program is inside of our planner. While I've been on the book tour, I've been meeting with different team members who live all over the United States. And when we get in their cities, we go to Target and we go to Staples and we just look at like what is on the market for people organizing their home or planning their life. And there's just not much. There's just not much. And I hadn't been in Staples in 2 years. and I have spent quite a lot of time in quite a few staples all over the United States looking at the planners that are available on the market. And it just reiterates to me what I've been saying on this podcast for years. Those planners at Staples are not planners. They are date books. They are really cute, fun, bright colored with sticker date books. They are your Google Calendar in physical form. They are not planners. There are no planning questions in there. There is no, how are you going to design your best day, your best week? What are your goals and priorities for this next small chunk of time? Like, how are you going to organize what a weekday looks like versus a Saturday and Sunday? The things I do in planning day to plan your next 100 days are not in any of those things that they call planners at the regular stores. Those are date books. I have a workbook that teaches you how to plan your next 120 days. And to look at your next 120 days at home, that's what I did for the last 20 years. That's why my kids are going to make their own decisions and live independently. And they are. The decisions Joey is making about moving out and how he's moving out and what his house is going to be like, and the decisions Abby's making for the birth of her child and you know, what Grayson's life is going to be like and the job that she has and how she's going to provide for him and herself. Like, they're very adult decisions. They have great decision-making processes. Is their life perfect? No. Is yours? Mine's not. No, of course not. But three times a year, I look at my life, my house, my family, my personal goals, and our family finances. And I say, okay, for the next 120 days, what is my goal for my house? What is my goal for myself? What is my goal for my immediate family? And what is my goal for my finances? And there was 18 months in there, 3 years in there, where almost everything revolved around finances and trying to get our finances under control. And there was 18 months to 3 years in there where I focused a lot on our house and what our house was going to look like and how that was going to function. And the last, you know, 18 months to 3 years, I've really been focusing on me. And like, if I'm not spending all of my time working and parenting, what do I want to do with myself? Still trying to figure that one out. We get new information all the time. But I only choose to make really big decisions about the new information that I get three times a year at home, if at all possible. Obviously, when you get new information about COVID, you're having to make decisions in the moment and more frequently. But for the most part, you're in a golden window right now. It's the end of August if you're listening to this real time. September is the best planning time of the entire year. Whatever you plan at the end of August will take you through September, October, and November. And September, October, November, that first 2 weeks of November, that 10 weeks, that is the most productive 10 weeks of the entire year. You may think it is January, but you know that New Year's resolutions usually don't make it through the end of January. I guarantee, I almost promise you that whatever decision you make Labor Day weekend will take you until Thanksgiving. If you were to make a New Year's resolution that starts the beginning of September, you are highly likely to do it all the way through the beginning of November. It's just, in the United States, it's the right energy, it's the right weather pattern, it's the right focus in school and work and everything. Everything aligns in the United States for whatever decision you make Labor Day weekend to take you all the way until Thanksgiving. It is the golden 10, 11 weeks of the year. And so it is worth it to spend some time at the end of August really planning out, what do you want your fall to look like? Now, the last 6 weeks of the year, that we'll do the best we can with. This is when businesses really hammer down on the goals that they want to get accomplished by the end of the year. This is when kids start school and they have a new, renewed, you know, focus and determination that goes all the way until Thanksgiving. This is when you go from the hot, hot days of summer and you start to get some of the shorter days, but cooler days where you could do more inside work and a little bit more focused work. It's when a lot of the harvesting happens inside of farms. This is your golden opportunity to really focus. And the thing that is going to keep you from achieving goals and focusing September, October, and November is lack of decision making and not focusing on what you have control over. Focus on what you control, make decisions, knowing you're going to have to remake those decisions, decide, and then that will allow you to focus. I would love for you to join us for our planning days. We have 3 planning days a year for your home, and it will always be the last Saturday in August, because the first day of the 100-day program is always on Labor Day. So the last Saturday in August is our planning day for your home. And then our work planning days follow the work cycle. And so our first one is going to be in September. So you're going to have back-to-back planning days if you do the 100-day and you do our workboxes. And those will set you up for the most productive fall you have ever had. You can be in control. You can be focused. You can make decisions, even if we don't know what's going to happen in the world.